We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the Game, 7 o'clock, top of the hour. Braves, NL East champions again. We'll get back into that throughout the program today as they now look at the playoffs, maybe the number two seed. Of course, Atlanta United playing tonight against FC Dallas. We'll have live coverage for you with Mike Conley and Jason Longshore of the Five Stripes tonight as they try and find some way to win a game. Meantime, the Falcons do as well, and 0-2 welcoming the Bears. Falcons 3.5-point favorites over the Bears on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where they're going to have 500 fans, what they said yesterday, and that'll be another talking point today. It'll be the friends and family plan, Hugh Douglas, so to speak. But at least there'll be people in the stands, which will be nice. I would imagine that would be a relief. I would think that the players probably thought that was kind of, you know, nice to see when, you know, they went to Dallas to see the, you know, I know it was 25,000 there, and there were Cowboys fans, but I would imagine there were a couple of Falcons fans there rooting for them.
Probably, more than likely. I mean, I would think so. I mean, Falcons fans travel pretty well, you know, so I would think that there was some in there.
And, of course, they were rewarded with, you know, just a total meltdown at the end of the game, which, you know, if you're a Falcons fan, oh, my, you pay to go to that game, and then that happens here. So Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, was on in his weekly address on 99 The Game with Dukes and Bell yesterday, and we have some of the cuts here that we're going to react to. The first one is about a minute long. This is Coach Quinn explaining to us what happened on that weird, now historic, now never forgettable onside kick.
I think you've known me for 6 years, so I'm never ever in the blame game, and so I am responsible for all of it. And I would say for you and for the fans, let's make sure, like, execution and not be in situation where they're two different things. And so on the onside kick, you know, certainly if it's short and you don't have to, you know, touch it to feel it, you don't have to. But honestly, when the ball goes flat and then it starts, you know, moving up towards the restraining line, then yeah, you got to go pounce on it. And so, yeah, we're all bummed that we weren't able to nail it like we wanted to. And that falls on all of us. And so, you know, I was, you know, certainly a tough one to have. It was one of the reasons we lost. It was not the reason we lost. But, you know, we all learned from it. But, yeah, two different things of execution and awareness. We knew what to do, but not executing it in that moment. Yeah, that part hurts, but that falls squarely on me.
Okay, execution versus awareness. We knew what to do, but we didn't execute. You had two guys standing over the ball when it crossed the 40, about 4.5 yards short of the line to gain, who were literally standing there, could have reached down and touched the ball. Execution is not hard here, okay? This isn't like somebody's blocking you or jamming you at the line or out-jumping you or, you know, or this. I mean, you just reach down and touch the ball, Hugh.
John, I don't even know how, like, honestly, I don't even know how to respond to that. I really don't. I mean, only thing I can say is, I mean, and you wonder why people get upset. Like, you can't, I mean, you can't say that. You can't say that's not the reason why we lost. Because it is. The reason why you lost was the fact that y'all didn't jump on the football. Because that, like, you know how they say it's like a handful of plays, and which is true for the most part. For the most part, that is true. For the most part, There's not one play that defines the end of a football game. But this one did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Unless you had
I ride with Coach Quinn, and I respect him for not throwing his players under the bus. I really, really do. And I have to reiterate, but that one right there, no. That one play defined the game. It did. And I understand that, you know, we're soul searching right now, and we're trying to figure out, you know, to work our way out of this hole. But come on, man, you can't say that. You can't like that one right there. Like that's like when you say something to your parents that they know you're telling a bold-faced lie and they want to slap you across the lips. They don't, though, because, you know, in this day and age, you can slap across lips. You're going to the defect. So, but, yeah, anyway. But, yeah, you can't say that, because that one right there, that did define the end of the game. That did. That did. Yeah. And you can't say that.
Yeah, I mean, that one play didn't lose us the game. Yeah, well, actually, it did. And the reason it did is because, yes, you failed to get, you know, seven when you took three early in the game, more than one occasion. Four field goals is always, you know, usually a bad sign when you're kicking that many field goals and can't get seven. You didn't get a first down when you needed to on the offensive side. You certainly couldn't get a stop on the defensive side. And there were, you know, injuries galore, and you blew a 20
with
to
all
nothing,
that being said,
to 10.
John.
All that being said, the fact of the matter is that one play.
you
make that one play.
You jump on that ball.
Game over.
We talking about all we corrected mistakes at this point, but we got the win, and ain't nobody's talking about that. You know, you'll talk about it because you're the head coach, and that's what head coaches do. You talk about the flaws of your defense and the fact that your offense was inept at the end of the game. That all comes into play. Not now, because at this point, everybody and their mother who was watching that game was hoping and praying. They knew what it was. I mean, everybody knew the flaws and saw the fact that the offense was sputtering and everything. But at that point, you were still winning. Now you're racing against time. Now you're just trying to hold on. You're like riding a bucket Bronco, and you're just trying to hold on for time at that point. You're just trying to make the, what is it, 3 seconds is the most, the max. You're just holding on for 3 seconds at that point. That's what you're trying to do.
Right. And have the bell ring, and then you're good. You know, I mean,
yeah,
and then
that's
we
it.
Worry about right.
That's
exactly.
It. You
and by the way, you wake up
mistakes.
This morning, you're tied for first in the NFC South.
Yes, and there you go. and you're in a good spot. That's what we're talking about, John. That's where we are right now. But that ain't the case.
I know, because I mean, you would, and again, you'd be tied for first with, you know, the aging wonder in Tampa and Drew Noodle, and frankly,
aging wonder in Tampa and Drew Noodle. Keep on with that.
Well, I'm just saying, I look at those guys, and I think, you know, if you're 1-1, suddenly you're going, you know, we like our chances. I mean, we can beat Drew Noodle. We've done it before. We can beat him again this year. I mean, and we probably will. And so I'm just saying, you know,
what you're doing, John, like I understand, like, you, but you're not firmly planted in reality right now. And the reality is that as much talent as we have, we're not performing. We're not performing, and that's a fact. That's the hard truth that I'm here to give you this morning. I'm your uncle this morning to tell you, hey man, for everything that you're saying, you're talking bad about the Patriots quarterback and the New Orleans Saints quarterback, both got a win. We ain't got one yet.
No, I don't.
We got one
I'm well aware. I mean, they're talking about, you know, the Russ is out there getting MVP. Oh, this is great. And Seattle's defense is actually worse than the Falcons. But they won the two games. So there you go. What is it? Here's another one from Dan Quinn. What does it say about your team about the mental lapses?
Well, I think, Carl, number one, we said, no more tail of two halves. And so let's make sure. This thing, we're ready to take it as long as it has to go. And the things I was pleased about, you know, seeing the turnover margin improve, seeing us have, you know, the protection and stay committed to the run game. So those things I liked, but this thing has got to go the whole time, man. So, like, no more tail of two halves. It has to be the whole thing. So, you know, as you're an angry team and you want to make sure you're, you know, setting the course for the whole entire game. And so that's what we, you know, our intent is and what we're looking to do this weekend for damn sure.
The Tale of Two Halves, it was okay until now? Or now we're changing? I mean, of course no more. I mean, you know, it's so frustrating because, you know, I so badly want them to win on Sunday against the Bears. And then I want them to go out on Monday.
You're not the only one, John. You're definitely not the only one.
Beat the Packers up in Green Bay. And, you know, you just find a way to beat Aaron Rodgers, which we've done in the past plenty of times. Aaron Rodgers and the Falcons have beaten the Packers plenty of times. They can go to Green Bay and get a win. Green Bay's not unbeatable. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is playing well. And it turned this thing around. And I do root for them. But all this kind of, you know, right now it's the problem is Hugh. This sounds like, you know, all right, I don't know what you say, but it just becomes just words, you know.
No, I think that Coach Quinn is right to number one, he's definitely right to protect his players. He's supposed to. That's what good coaches do. That's what good coaches do. But I think at the same time, you got to have a firm grasp on your fan base and how to communicate with them, and you know, like. Coach speak don't work in this situation as far as you're talking about, hey, one play does not define the game. Yeah, that one does. And, you know, we're dealing with some of the same issues that we had before, you know. And I know you're saying that guys are this, that, and the third, but it's not showing up. It's definitely not showing – it's not showing up. It's not.
One more from this from Dukes and Bell yesterday. Head coach Dan Quinn talking about what he said to Raheem Morris, the defensive coordinator, and his defensive staff after the game.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, the standard that we want to set is really high. And so when you don't meet it and you don't hit the mark like you want to, you want to go back into the lab and make sure you're getting the corrections done, you're getting the things done that you want to get done. So we were pleased to see the ball come alive in the first half, you know, forcing some fumbles and creating some short field. And so that has to be, like I said, man, you can't have a tale of two halves, you know, where it's strong here, not here. So we're working day and night to make sure we find the right tweaks, the right balance, so we can play like we're capable of. And no one has a higher standard than we do about how we want to play. And so we're going to work our asses off to make sure we get into that spot because for everybody, it wasn't to the standard we want to play at. And we recognize that, and we're working hard to address that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know. But let's see it, you know.
Yeah, you got to see it this weekend, John.
Yep,
I mean,
I do.
I mean, you got to see it. I mean, we all got to see it this weekend because we're at the point now where, like I said, total tremendous amount of respect for Coach Quinn. But it's like when you say certain things and people are looking at it and, you know, coupled with the fact that, you know, everybody's not on the same page out there at Flowery Branch. You know, you got the owner saying one thing and you saying another. People hear that. And they get frustrated. They get upset because they're listening to you, and they feel like, you know, you're trying to pull a fast one over on them. You know what I mean? Like they're not that bright. So that's part of the issue too. So we got to get one this weekend, man. Because like I said, I ain't coming to work Monday. I ain't talked to Sean about it, but I mean that's kind of where I'm at with mine.
Hey, Mitch Trubisky, some people are saying, hey, pick up Mitch Trubisky. He could be a, you know, against that Falcons defense, he could have a big game this week. You know, the fantasy kind of guy. I'm like, Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
They're telling people to pick up Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah. Okay. NFL headlines. Boys, you think the Falcons are in a world of hurt? There's some other teams that are so banged up that they are out there signing people that you wouldn't think they'd be signing, but they are. Free agents are us suddenly in the NFL. Next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Worldwide at radio.com after a CBS Sports Minute.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24-7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Enough crying in your beer. Week 3 of the NFL. Let's see if you can't get a win if you're a team that doesn't have a win, or get back on track if you're a team that just lost, or maybe continue the great start that you've had like the Chicago Bears. Welcome back
Chicago.
To the morning show on Sports Radio 92 on the game. I know they're headed off to the Super Bowl, Hugh. They're 2-0. Here come the Bears.
See, John, you ain't got to be sarcastic with me. It was just a random pick. Just like this morning when I said Mike Foltynewicz was the first name that popped in my head, and now people giving me grief about that.
But what if you're right, Hugh?
I mean, listen. It's when you ask me questions on the off the cuff like that, I'm gonna give you my first thought most times, because most times I can go there. Sometimes I can't, but most times I can't. So yeah, I'm a go with my first thought. But
Bears beat the Lions already. You're looking at the Vikings. Who are the Lions, look at the Vikings. Vikings are not no good right now. You think the Falcons are not no good? The Vikings are not no good. So I mean, maybe there's an opening there in the black and blue division for the Bears to sneak into the playoffs. And once you're in, Hugh, guess what? Anything can happen, right?
Anything.
Yeah, just saying. We'll see. A couple of quick notes. As you know, a lot of teams are really banged up. I mean, the Falcons are going to be – well, today is injury day, so we'll hear from a lot of teams in the NFL. And, of course, with the Falcons, we want to hear about the status, and you know, we cross our fingers. We did get good news about Caleb McGarry. Sounds like he's only going to miss this week, and he'll be back for the Packers game, which is good. But we have to find out about Rico. We've got to find out about Tack. We got to find out about, certainly Marlon Davidson and Kendall Sheffield and whether or not they're going to be available. And what about Foye Oluokun? So there are five guys that we're kind of concerned about here. I don't know if we'll get any of them back, Hugh. I hope we do.
I can't see. Like, I've had a groin injury before. I don't know how severe Tack's is. But the way that he pulled up, it seemed like it kind of caught him a little bit. That's hard. As a defender and a defensive lineman, a defensive end, in particular, all the moves and stuff you have to make, those violent, quick moves, he might be messed up for a while.
There are three teams that have really been hit hard with injuries. The New York Giants, and the reason we say them is because you lose Saquon Barkley and you pretty much lost your team. Then there's the two teams that have been decimated by injuries, the San Francisco 49ers and the Denver Broncos. The Giants, let's start there. Devontae Freeman's back in the NFL, Hugh. He's not Saquon Barkley, but he's the running back of the New York Giants now.
For him to go to New York, he must have got a pretty sweet deal. Dude, I wonder how that's going to work out for Devontae, though. Because, boy, you know, went to Florida State, played in Atlanta. Hey, John, you get cold in New York, bro. Mm-hmm. You get cold in New York.
Right.
Oh my goodness! I mean, you do what you got to do. I understand that, and you know, I don't behoove him for that. But boy,
hey John,
it get cold up there.
Do you remember when Devontae Freeman turned down a couple teams? I think the Seahawks may have been one of them.
Yes, they were. Yeah, Seahawks were one of them.
And there was a discussion and some comments made about how wherever he money wasn't the biggest issue right there. Do you guys remember what he said was important to him at the time?
Contender
said he wanted to win.
Yep, and where's he at?
Probably the team with the number one overall pick at the end of the year.
Or the other team that plays in the same stadium.
One of those two. They're not good. But I just – you want to win, and that this is where you go? Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, you roll the dice sometimes, Hugh, and sometimes –
And you know what? You have to be – like, decisions like that, Abe, you got to be comfortable with the outcome. Like, you know, you shake those dice, man. Well, look, sometimes they roll – you roll them snakes. You roll them snake eyes.
It's rare he's going to go to any team and be a legit number one back at this point in the season. Mm-hmm. He's going to go to this team and be a legit number one back. It's a one-year deal. It's kind of the prove-it deal, but you can't have it both ways. If you want to play for a prove-it deal, fine, but you can't also expect to win. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, a couple other things here. Yeah, John Elway, for as great a quarterback and general manager as he's been, ain't been pretty good. I mean, obviously, you know, his roll the dice of Peyton Manning, when a lot of people said Peyton Manning should never play, turned out to be, you know, golden for them. He got another Super Bowl out of it. Now, as it pertains to quarterbacks at the moment, he's big on Drew Lock, which is fine, except that he didn't get anything besides Drew Lock in the offseason. And when Drew Lock went down for, I don't know, 3 weeks, a month, 5 weeks, however long he's going to be out, he was left with Jeff Driskel. So he had to go out and do something, and now Blake Bortles is going to be quarterbacking the Denver Broncos. Now, look, the Denver Broncos, Hugh, they lost Von Miller. They lost Cortland Sutton. You could argue they're the two best players they have on the team. Their season may be shot anyway, but now you're going to put Blake Bortles back at quarterback. Good luck to you.
Yeah, but you know what, John? That's one of those things where, you know, it's too early in the season, way too early in the season to try to give up now. So you got to do what you got to do.
I know. You really do. I'm just saying. Then you have the San Francisco 49ers out there signing Ziggy Ansah because they lose Nick Bosa. The Niners are really huge. Man, is that team
banged
up.
Yeah, you're talking about a team that got decimated. Yeah, they got decimated. They definitely got decimated. And it's unfortunate. It was like, you know, it's funny watching the game Sunday, and it's like it was almost like back to back to back. When you hear about all these injuries, it was like, you know, breaking news or injury updates and things of that nature. It was just tough. Tough Sunday. Soft tissue injuries on every front for every team.
And again, we'll find out more about the Falcons today. Cross your fingers. We'd love to see Marlon Davidson, you know, be cleared to play. Kendall Sheffield cleared to play. That would be a big thing. I think we're now seeing that Kendall Sheffield last year, when we saw what we saw was not our eyes deceiving us. He's the best cover corner on this team, and we need him. We could use him. You know, so we need Kendall Sheffield to come back to this ball club for this game against the Bears. And we can, you know, again, tack. Good news on McGarry, and we'll find out about the rest of them today. As for the attitude of the team, there's one soundbite from Hugh, from Coach Quinn, we didn't get to in the last segment, and it was about the attitude of the club right now and what the attitude of this team is after this brutally hard 0-2 start.
When you let one slip, you know, obviously, you know, it gets at you, it gnaws at you, because at the end of it, it only counts as one, but it was one that you have to have. And so that's the reality of it, where we're sitting at 0-2, certainly don't want to, but you don't get that one back. What you can control is what's next. And when you go through some hard things and there's some shared adversity, that's where some of the strongest foundations come from, and some of the glue that puts a team together. And for us, we're going to go for it as hard as we can, man. We know the W's live at the far end of the timeline, so that's where our hunt is going to be the strongest. And, yeah, we're disappointed. We're disappointed for the players, for the fans, for everybody. But we also know, you know, what's ahead of us this week. And it's a big deal for us to make sure the way we want to play and the identity that we'd like to play with, that's going to be front and center this weekend. And so we're for damn sure ready to get playing.
All right, well, we'll see here, Hugh. First time in Matt Ryan's tenure as the Falcons quarterback, first time in his tenure that the Falcons have started 0-2. It never happened under Matt Ryan. And it shouldn't have happened this year, but it did. So, yeah, how do you handle that, Hugh? I mean, I want you to go back to your player days. You know, if you suffered a and I'm sure you did. Well, and I'm not talking about Super Bowls and stuff like that or playoff games. I'm talking about early in the season, games that you should have won. I mean, Hugh, you had the game won. How do you bounce back from that?
You know what, John? It's like, to your point, games like that, they hurt, but the good part about it is you got another one coming. And that's what you get ready for. You get ready for the next one. I mean, that's just how it is. Now, the ones that stick with you, the NFC Championship games, to your point, those are the ones that stick with you. But, like, regular season games, you know, it's unfortunate that it happened that way, but you get past it. But I will say the difference in this one is that this is a team that's been through this already. You know, a good football team, a team where a lot of the players on here, you know, have been to the Super Bowl. So this one hits a little different because now I would think, I don't know this, but I would think that everything that people have been saying about you in the past, a little bit of doubt might start to creep into your head. And you know what I'm talking about. The storyline for this team is they haven't recovered from the Super Bowl like they haven't. And you talk about the starts from the last couple of seasons, you know, people will look at that and they'll use that as like Exhibit A. And now as a player, even though, you know, you cancel all of that stuff out, John, and you look at all the hard work that you put in the offseason, you look at all the stuff that you did to get better, all the workouts and everything, and even though, you know, you had all these adverse situations, you still look like a team that was in a good spot to start the season out like this. I would say, man, the biggest thing that you're fighting now is doubt. That's the biggest thing that you're fighting. Your doubt's starting to creep in, or whether or not you did do enough, or maybe you're starting to listen to some of the people say, you know, hey, maybe they haven't recovered. You got to fight that. That's the biggest thing right now. You got to fight all of that, because I can imagine that at some point during the course of probably the ride home or during the week, you're like, man, maybe this ain't right or whatever. And you got to go ahead and throw that out your head like right now. You can't let that happen. You can't, but that's human. You're human, but you just got to fight through that, man. I think that's what they're doing right now. They're trying to fight through that.
Yeah, that's a tough spot to be in, and now suddenly Chicago becomes a, if not a must-win, certainly a
man, it's a
must close
win.
To it.
I mean, listen, I know we got a lot of football left in the season.
I know.
Listen,
right.
You don't want to come back. You don't want to come back to Atlanta. Well, we're in Atlanta, but you don't want it, man. You don't want that, man. You don't want that because then you think the naysayers are talking trash about you now. Wait till Monday. You don't want that.
It is Wednesday of game week for the SEC. Georgia head coach Kirby Smart talking now about the decision that he's going to make at quarterback for the game Saturday against Arkansas. We have the audio. We'll play it for you next as we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game and worldwide at radio.com.
Mornings with John and Hugh.
Yeah, that's right, G.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the game. It is Wednesday of game week for the SEC. We still have, this will show you kind of weird. We're still, welcome back to 92 on the game, Sports Radio 92 on the game. We're still a month from when the Big Ten will kick off. And I think maybe the Pac-12. And yet they're going to be part of the playoff and they don't even start for another month. So by that time, the ACC will be six games into their season. That'd be weird. It's a different kind of year. But here comes the SEC. Hugh Douglas, you excited for SEC football this Saturday?
Oh, no question about that, John. Excited as all get out because, the football over the past couple of weeks has been decent. It's been decent. But it hasn't been what we're accustomed to down here in the South, you know. No SEC teams. So, yeah, I'm excited about seeing the Dogs play, beat up on Arkansas.
They're certainly heavily favored, and I know some Dogs fans are saying we're going to go to Fayetteville and run, and they're no good, and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, when you haven't played in so long, Hugh, and you're breaking in new quarterbacks, and we've seen, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that Georgia isn't going to win the game, but, you know.
I mean, Georgia's bread and butter. I mean, you know, I mean, we all know that at the beginning of the season, basically, you know, it's kind of a preseason. I'm not saying that Arkansas is a preseason matchup. But, you know, when you talk about what the Dogs are, they're poised to do and what they're, you know, what they're picked to do and you know, all this
other
stuff.
Well, they should win the game
handily.
They should
take care of business, yeah.
Yeah, they should win the game handily, yes. They're the far better team. It just, you know, weird things happen in week one. And then, of course, Georgia goes right into that gauntlet that they've got to play with all those incredibly big games at the early part of the season. So this is, you got to get off on the right foot because, you know, you're looking at Auburn and Alabama and Tennessee and Florida and Kentucky. I mean,
yeah, you got a buzzsaw. You got to walk into a buzzsaw.
Yeah, you're straight into a buzzsaw. And you're going to be doing so with a fairly inexperienced quarterback. The question is, at least from a Georgia standpoint, quarterbacking at Georgia, head coach Kirby Smart talking this week about where he stands with his decision about who the starting quarterback is going to be.
I'm excited about the guys that have competed. They've all done a good job. They've all taken reps. Stetson, Carson, JT, and DeJuan have all done a good job. And excited to see those guys go out and play.
All right. So that is the broad, I got nothing here. Because I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to give you a hint. Everybody seems to think from the reporting that it's down to DeJuan Mathis, the multiversed, kind of quarterback, and JT Daniels, the transfer in from USC, who is a statue, for lack of a better term, but more of a pro-style guy, more of a Jacob Eason kind of guy. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Now, Daniels has not yet been cleared to play because he had the, torn ACL last year. If he is cleared to play, then Smart says that, hopefully he'll be cleared to play. We'll make a decision on Saturday. It sounds more and more like DeJuan Mathis is going to get the start, Hugh, for this team.
You know, it's funny, John. It all depends on where you go and what you read because, we go to our last to figure out the depth charts and everything. And on the depth chart there, it has JT Daniels listed as the starter. But when you start reading different stories about, the Dogs and where he is and everything as far as JT Daniels, he's not ready to go, and DeJuan Mathis is slated as the starter. So, I would say, if I'm a betting man, and going into this week's game, I would probably say it's DeJuan Mathis.
That's where I'm going to go with it until further notice. And of course, remember now that Arkansas's quarterback is Felipe Franks, the former Florida star who transferred to Arkansas, and now Sam Pittman, the former Georgia coach, who's their head coach. I mean, Arkansas's not going to be. Look, I understand what Arkansas is. I think they understand what they are. I don't think they're going to be butt awful though. I think they might be okay. They may not be as bad as you think. They may not look. That's a team, Hugh, that could literally win one game in the West this year, and that's not their fault. The fact is the West is just loaded. You know, again, when you've got Alabama and Auburn and LSU and Texas A&M, and now the interesting thing about what's going to happen with those two coaches, Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin in Mississippi. I mean, so it's an interesting year in the West. I don't know what to make of Florida here. They're going to open first kickoffs are going to be at noon on Saturday, Hugh. Florida and Ole Miss. That'll be interesting. Lane Kiffin's debut as the Ole Miss head coach against Kyle Trask.
And who is? I was about to say is Kyle Trask is the slated starter for them. But you know, it's a couple speaking of that, John. Like it's a couple teams that haven't announced their starter. I think Bama hasn't announced their starter yet for the quarterback position.
Well, they haven't. But Mac Jones is going to start. Mac Jones.
John, that's all I wanted you to do.
I know you were set me up. Right.
You didn't give me a chance to set it up. You jumped into it too fast. But forget it. But anyway, yeah, forget it.
I knew where you were going.
That's why I was trying to bring it back to Alabama, but still fine. But yeah, it's going to be a great week of football, man. And I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see it. The last couple of weeks, like I said, have been good, but. It's nothing like SEC football, especially being down here.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And the you know, we talk about the West and the depth in the West. Of course, you're going to have a new quarterback down at LSU and A&M. Everybody keeps saying, right? I mean, how many years?
Who is
have
it?
We
Miles
heard?
Brennan is Miles Brennan the quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
That he's going to be at the
LSU,
starter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then everybody keeps hearing A&M. Oh, this is the year that Texas A&M is actually good. Until it actually happens, I'm not going to believe it. Though I think that, when you made the change of coach, I think, it's going to, Jimbo's, got a title under his belt. We know that he can coach. But until it actually happens, all right, so we'll see if this is the year that A&M jumps up there. I think there's still, Auburn's kind of an interesting team. They lost an awful lot on defense with Derek Brown, Marlon Davis, and other players.
Bo Nix.
I know.
The young quarterback, though, Johnny, showed a lot. I mean, you know how it goes. They just reload. I mean,
yeah,
they reload defensive players. They reload. They just reload.
And so they do reload. When you're reloading into a year like this and jumping into the – remember, Auburn's, going to be – who's Auburn playing? They're playing Kentucky. Look, they got to play Kentucky this week. Then, Hugh, they turn around and play Georgia. I mean, okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a gauntlet. I mean, right? No, it's going to be some – it'll probably be two-loss SEC champion this year, the way that it's going. I mean, because it doesn't feel like, this would be the year where, you get a little bit of a breather. No Citadels and no teams like that on the roster. So yeah, I mean on the schedule. So yeah, it might be a two loss champion this year.
Half a dozen, six of the top 10 teams in America are in the SEC right now, and of course, that's partly due to the fact that the Big Ten, and Pac-12 aren't playing at the moment. But still,
not yet.
They will be. Well, we don't know about the Pac-12, but they will be. For Auburn, yeah. Kentucky, the East, Hugh. Georgia in the East, certainly, I think, the favorite, slight favorite. Some people really like Florida for a lot of reasons. And Florida and Georgia, kind of 1-2, 1-A, 1-1-A. And then after that, though, there's some teams. Tennessee, you got Justin Garantano back at quarterback. You give him Jeremy Pruitt, another really good recruiting class. Mark Stoops has built something up there in Lexington where Kentucky is not falling off year to year. It's not like they have a good year, Hugh, and they win 9 games and suddenly they're back to 5 wins. They're staying up at that level. He's managed to get that program to a point where, they're pretty consistently good.
Pretty respectable. And that's the one thing that I've liked about Kentucky. I picked them a couple years ago to do some things, but it didn't happen that way. But, yeah, Kentucky's one of those teams where you look at them, John, and you're excited about the direction that they're going in.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of Missouri. I mean, that program has, they've won a couple of SEC titles. They put a lot of guys into the NFL. But at the same time, they always seem to have a major flaw or two that prevents them from doing much of anything. And right now they're going to have to open at home against Alabama. And hopefully that didn't go too squirrely for them because that's one of those games that could get out of hand in a big hurry. And then there's Vanderbilt and South Carolina. South Carolina, I just wonder. It'll be really interesting with Mike Bobo now as the offensive coordinator in South Carolina. And by the way, they're going to change quarterbacks this year. They're going to go with Mike Bobo had a guy at Colorado State, Hugh, named Colin Hill. as his quarterback. He brings, since he goes to South Carolina, he brings this Colin Hill in, and they had the Ryan Helinski who started for him last year, and Bobo says, yeah, I like my guy from Colorado State more, so I'm going to bench you. So he's going to go with the transfer over the incumbent at South Carolina. Is that ever going to catch?
That's a bold move to do. Right. In a pandemic, especially when you haven't had that. Well, they've been working out, but not had the kind of time that you've had in the past to get your quarterbacks ready. That's a bold move. That's a real bold move.
You know, it's going to be interesting if it ever catches for Will Muschamp. I know that they're getting a little antsy over in Columbia. You know, South Carolina hasn't been able to jump into the fray and be a real serious player. I mean, they've had a couple of nice wins here or there. But they have two problems at Columbia. One is they haven't been able to really jump into the fray of Georgia and Florida into the SEC East and contend for a title. And second to that, of course, is the fact that land-grant school to its north in its own state has been this superpower, and it just kills them in Columbia that the farmers up there in the northwest corner of the state are, you know, this mega power, and that they view themselves, Hugh, as we are the University of South Carolina, not those other guys. You know what I'm saying? So with Clemson doing what it's doing, just destroys them in the state. It's going to be an interesting year because we don't know what's going to happen, Hugh, when it all kind of gets out in the wash here. Will we have it, you know, go chalk you in Georgia and Alabama or not?
Well, it all depends. You know, I was just thinking, John, because with the Big Ten starting up so late, how is that? I mean, really, how is that going to change the landscape of the college football, the rankings, hot number one, and is that going to be beneficial for the Big Ten to start so late in the season? You know, when everybody else is a little bit banged up, you know, because you're talking about a whole month of football that's going to be played before the Big Ten even gets started, you know, as far as Alabama and the SEC schools. So it's going to be interesting to see how, when it all shakes out, how the Big Ten plays into all of that. And then on top of that, John, you talk about the best of five schools and how they're going to be viewed once the Big Ten starts to play and they start to cannibalize one another.
Speaking of that, we talked about that, you know, whether this is going to be the year. How about, you know, UCF? What if Georgia Tech turns out to be pretty good? If UCF goes unbeaten, are we looking at that UCF team a little bit differently?
That's the point that I'm making. What about UCF? If the Big Ten starts to play and UCF's undefeated and the Big Ten is rolling, what does that mean for them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a whole lot. It's a whole lot that's gonna have to play itself out.
Well, the Falcons made a bit of a thing yesterday that I'm kind of curious to ask you out there. The Falcons say they're going to have 500 fans at the game against the Bears. This is a little test run. Let's say the test run goes well. Are you willing to go to Mercedes-Benz when they open up the doors and say 20,000 can show up? Give us a call and let us know. 404-741-0929. We know where Hugh stands, and we'll find out where you stand. Next, with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and worldwide at radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.